Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome to Heart of the Matter with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We are getting to the heart of the matter on things that should be on your radar.
Yep.
We dissect issues, look at them as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. And then also we will be sharing amazing stories, exceptional endeavors. Whether or not it is maybe how somebody's taken a dream and made something happen, or we've got our World War II stories. And then we will also talk about public policy and how it affects people's lives. Molly, there is a lot going on, local, county, state, national. I mean, so I feel like we need to be like auctioneers. We have so much to talk about that we really talk really fast.
All righty, drink some Red Bull, and we're just going to go really quick. And can I make a public service announcement as well?
Sure.
Speaking of going quicker, be a part of the solution, not the problem. That left lane when you're driving to and from work and other places, it's not for going slow and leisurely and checking your text messages and social media. That's actually for passing. I know some people are new to driving. Just wanted to let everybody know. That's it. Be a part of the solution. Hashtag I'm a movement.
Actually, I know you were a little stressed because you kind of zoomed in here. And I know that you would have, if you'd gone the speed limit, you probably still wouldn't be here. Right?
Exactly.
I shouldn't say that. So anyway, welcome, Molly. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. So that's another thing that we do is we're looking for solutions together. And we want to hear your solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So please call us. Join the conversation. 303-632-4160. And check us out. We are the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter and our website.
Yep. So, well, we got a lot to talk about. Right now, we're going to talk about things that are happening actually nationally. It's been a big day. Betsy DeVos was recently approved as Secretary of Education, and there are some people that it's like they've kicked a hornet's nest on this.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm very excited about it. I know that, you know, we've talked to a lot of people. She may not be totally perfect. None of them are. However, I'm really excited about her because of the options in education.
Yep.
I think that it's really important that families have the options to be able to choose what is going to be best for their children. And if there's, you know, if you are a single mom, say in an inner city, and your kids are stuck in a failing school, you should be dancing in the streets.
Absolutely.
That Betsy DeVos was confirmed today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and somebody that makes some really good a case for school vouchers is Elbert Guillory. He's former state senator in Louisiana, a good friend of ours, and he makes a good case. And he's calling out all of the Democrats and the two Republicans that voted against DeVos. He's calling them racist for wanting to keep these kids down and keep them in underperforming schools, and saying, let's give kids choice. And remember, we talked to him about a year ago when Attorney General Eric Holder was coming after Louisiana because they were allowing too many vouchers. They were allowing too many kids out of the
according
poor schools
Eric
into
Holder.
Other schools. And they said, you know, you're gonna create a racial imbalance by allowing kids in inner cities to get out of those public schools and go to other schools, which is absolutely crazy. But I just want to make sure that people understand, we want all kids to have the best opportunity for education, regardless of the zip code you live in or the income level of your parents. And I think that Betsy DeVos is for school choice and vouchers and options like that. And that doesn't take away public school. That's just another alternative as well. Not all kids are the same. Give them a choice. So I'm going to be paying attention, though, to see what she does about Common Core. That's my only question with her. I'm not quite sure where she stands with that. I know a lot of legislators and just people in general in the beginning thought Common Core was a good thing and then have started to realize it's not. Dr. Sandra Stotsky came out against it, and she was on the original team that devised the plan. So I think people are starting to get that. I just want to make sure Betsy DeVos looks
into
Common Core.
And that's my understanding,
so that's
that she is not a supporter of Common Core. But as you say, you know, we are not supporting all this just blank check. We want to make sure that we hold all these people accountable, no matter which side of the aisle they're on.
Yep.
So other stuff that's going on, Molly, I know that we wanted to talk just a little bit about the Iran nuclear deal. Apparently, President Trump and his administration has come out and said, you know what, you are testing these ballistic missiles. which is in direct violation of UN Resolution 2231. And he said, you know, we need to be doing something about that.
Yep.
And, you know, we have talked about this before, but interestingly enough, in that Iran nuclear deal, we released $150 billion to them.
Billion.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
with a B.
Yeah.
And you know, there's been a lot of back and forth about the fence that Trump says is going to be built. I just tried to Google some numbers on how much that would cost. What I've seen that would be $49 billion. So that would be a third of the money that we gave to Iran, which Iran supports terrorists.
Yes.
So to me, it's like, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that wasn't a good deal.
Yeah. No. Right. Well, you know, and U.S. Security Advisor Michael Flynn, he's been saying we've been tolerant way too long of Iran's behavior and bad behavior, and it's time to do something about it. And I totally agree. We were way too tolerant of Hitler's behavior back in the day. And perhaps if we hadn't kept drawing lines and letting him go across them without doing anything about it, we wouldn't have had to go to war and lose so many lives.
Right.
So let's go ahead and hold Iran accountable for the agreement that they made to us and to the UN. And let's protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. Start making wise choices.
Absolutely. And on that, the other thing that's really been getting people obviously pretty excited is this executive order regarding, you know, refugees. And I took a look at this refugee order and that Donald Trump, this executive order on this. And you know what? I think it makes a lot of sense. And the actual title of this, Molly, is Protecting the Nation from Foreign Terrorist Entry into the United States. Again, that seems to me like a good idea.
Yeah.
It's just a temporary ban. And I very quickly wanted to share, I think I've got it right here, a text from a friend of mine who she's very thoughtful and she's really been trying to figure out what this whole thing is about. And she's kind of gone back and forth on this. And this is a text that I got from her just the other day that I thought was very important. I think this was on Sunday. She said, boy, all this favor of illegal immigration and their rights in this country, the radical liberals are taking this situation to a whole new level. We have to take care of our war veterans first. Many are homeless. They should get first priority. Many are living in the tents in our city streets. The radical liberal media is trying to make Trump fail. Very unfair situation. Immigration laws are designed to protect our citizens first, not to protect the refugees. Things are way out of balance. This is somebody that I would say is right down the center, and she has just really been trying to understand these issues. I thought that made a lot of sense.
I think that's great. I think it's great. She's doing her research and she's talking to people. And to talk to military members, I think, is a big one as well, who have actually been over to Iran and Iraq and Syria and Libya and all those places. They know what we're facing over there. It's not that it's just a Muslim population. There are terrorists there that are promising that they are going to come into our country through our refugee program, and they've done everything they said they were going to do, so why not take them at their word? Water's Edge Winery is a craft winery located in the heart of Centennial. Locally owned, Chad and Jennifer are currently making more than 30 international varietals with very low sulfites, with you in mind. Drop in anytime to watch the winemaker at work or experience a wine tasting. Sample some of their delicious meats and cheeses or chocolates. So grab your girlfriends, bring your book club, celebrate any occasion in their tasting room. Water's Edge Winery is located across from the streets at South Glen and Centennial. Call them today, 720-381-6663. Website is wewdenver.com, and we'll see you at the Water's Edge Winery, your new happy place.
Hey, welcome back to Heart of the Matter with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. We've got a great show planned today. This is our second day on KDMT 1690. And we're just really talking fast because there's so much to talk about, and we only have an hour. So we're going to auctioneering school so that we can get it all in.
Yeah, we didn't think we had a lot of time when we were doing this one day a week. Now we've got 5 days a week, and we're like, oh, my gosh, great. There's so much to get to. But that's the point. There's so much news. And if we go through it and we bring the most important things we think you should have on your radar to you, then hopefully you can spend your time doing something that actually is good for you and your family. You know, you can make a living. You can spend some time with your loved ones, because we're trying to go through and wipe away the smoke and the mirrors and really get to the truth about what you need to know.
Absolutely. And talking about getting rid of smoke and mirrors, we have a guest on who I'm really excited about. William Perry Penley is the president of Mountain States Legal Foundation. And for many years, he has been on the front line fighting overreaching government.
Yes.
He's argued cases before the Supreme Court. And we've got a number of things that we'd like to talk with him about. Counselor Penley,
yes,
are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, great. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, and this is Molly.
Yeah.
So, great to be with you.
Well, good to have you. We've got you on for two segments here, and so let's just jump right in Is there anything else you want to say? I mean, you're an impressive guy. You've, you know.
No, you covered it all.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, let's jump in here. So you've argued cases before the Supreme Court before. So Neil Gorsuch has been brought forward as a potential Supreme Court justice. What do you think about Judge Gorsuch?
I'm delighted. We have right now, and Justice Scalia commented on it in one of his opinions, that we have a bicoastal Supreme Court of the United States. We have two justices from California, Sacramento, and San Francisco. Justice Thomas is from coastal Georgia. Alito is from Trenton, New Jersey. The Chief Justice is from Buffalo. And the other three justices are from three of the five boroughs in New York City. So this flyover country that we have, this grand expanse of the nation that has unique situations and unique circumstances, especially the West, is totally unrepresented on the court. It makes a difference. It means something. And to have a Westerner on the court for the first time in a long time, I think it'll be very, very helpful. And he follows in the footsteps of his mentor, the justice he first clerked for, which is the first, the last Colorado justice, Justice Byron White. And Justice White, as we all know, was appointed by President John F. Kennedy, but he became very conservative justice, and he was especially interested in issues that affected the West. He famously dissented in a case involving the Endangered Species Act, and he compared the Endangered Species Act to a law that allowed people, in lieu of food stamps, he said, we'd allow people to go into grocery stores and take what they needed. And that's what it was for the grizzlies, grizzly bears. This man's sheep were preyed upon by grizzly bears, and Justice Byron White thought that wasn't right. And so I'm looking for great things from Justice Gorsuch. I knew his mom in Washington, D.C., and Burford Gorsuch, I worked with her when she was at the EPA under President Reagan, and he just has a remarkable pedigree, and at least for me, one of the most important things is he's from the West, he understands Western issues, and he can help inform his colleagues on the court and the clerks that they have.
Now, Counselor Penley, I'm just sitting here thinking about when we start to remember that we know, like, potential Supreme Court justices' parents, it starts to make us seem a little older, doesn't it?
Well, obviously. I find myself working with the sons and daughters of the men and women I've worked with over the years, and it's exciting.
It is.
It's
yes.
Exciting to know that they raise their kids right, that the kids are following in the parents' footsteps and engaged in these issues, and it's we need that. We absolutely need that. So many of the millennials, or whatever you call the current generation, or the one ahead of it, seem to be dropping out or seem to be disinterested, and we really do need young people who are interested in government, interested in politics, and can help make things right.
Well,
that's what the Founding Fathers intended.
Absolutely. And I am encouraged. I'm starting to see this younger generation really start, many of them anyway, start to have a curiosity for what's going on and have a curiosity for, you know, personal responsibility and those kinds of things. So I'm encouraged. But with that, Counselor, a lot of people don't understand when we talk about potential Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch as an originalist. Why is that important, and what does that mean?
Well, what it means was, what was it that the Founding Fathers, what did they intend? Not so much what was their language and what did that language mean at the time, but what was their intention when they wrote these words? And it's not what Justice Breyer and some of the other justices on the court would have you have the Constitution all constantly evolving. It means different things. It meant one thing then. It means something else today. And I think your classic example for us in the West is the Second Amendment. The founders, and Justice Scalia says the founders intended that people would be able to arm themselves. They'd be able to arm themselves to protect themselves and their families, and they'd frankly be able to protect themselves against their government. That's the founders understood that. They understood there might come a time when people would have to defend themselves. And of course, the modern view of the Second Amendment, oh, well, there are just so many guns out there, and we got to have restrictions, we got to have limitations, and we got to put wise people in charge. And that's what it always boils down to with these progressives. We're going to put smart people, really super smart people in charge, and then they'll make these rules and we'll have to live by them. Because the founders, if they were around today, they'd want super smart people in charge of their lives. And nothing could be further from the truth. You look at the text of the Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You look at the First Amendment about no restrictions on the right of speech. And so you see Congress adopting laws to say you can only spend so much on this candidate or that candidate,
right,
or this party or that party. Gee, what part of no no restriction don't you understand?
Well, and the other thing, Perry, that has been so interesting then is this radical left who many times, you know, have tolerance, diversity, coexist on their bumper stickers, are out there trying to, you know, infringe upon the right of free speech, the right of assembly, which you're seeing at many of these college campuses where people can't even go in and hear a speaker. It's pretty scary. And these are the elites who have said that they're much smarter and that they should be in charge of all of our lives. And what has been so interesting is to, as we see the veil start to come off, that they were kidding on this tolerance and coexist and diversity thing.
Yeah, they're all for coexistence, only insofar as you agree with them. I'm always looking, because I've been around long enough to see, you know, like my friends at Instapundit always write, I've been around long enough that I remember back when this or that. And I was very pleased with President Trump's statement when the riots broke out on the University of California, Berkeley campus over a speaker who was supposed to come in, and he talked about withholding federal funding from the campus. We had a case several years ago during the administration of George W. Bush in which riots broke out on the University of California, Santa Cruz campus when military recruiters came onto the campus. Well, there's a provision of federal law that allows the Secretary of Defense to withhold federal monies from that campus. And we begged him on behalf of students we represented who were on that campus who wanted to meet with military recruiters. We begged him to withhold the money. He refused. We eventually had to sue him. And he fought it. He refused to withhold the money. And your question, does President Trump have the power or authority to withhold money from Berkeley? But Secretary Rumsfeld did have that power and refused to exercise it years ago. And so I'm heartened by some of the things that I'm seeing now, because we can't back down from this nonsense.
We're talking to Perry Penley, president of Mountain States Legal Foundation. Perry, thank you. While we're on that topic and talking about what power the president of the United States does have, I'm curious, constitutionally and legally, what power does President Trump have on this immigration ban that he's put into place? You know, we've got the states that are coming at him saying it's not legal, but who really does have that authority?
Well, I'm outside my issue area when I try to discuss that. But here's the one thing that I do know, and I've read people whose opinion I respect, and it does appear that the judge who issued that injunction against the order is totally without authority to do what he did. I'll give you a comparison. We have a lawsuit right now that we first brought in Idaho against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We represent a young woman who likes to go out hiking on U.S. Army Corps of Engineers recreational lands. She had a death threat from a crazy neighbor. She has a concealed carry. She has the right to carry a weapon, and she carries it all the time, even when she's out recreating. And the Corps of Engineers says, no, you can't carry on Army Corps of Engineers land. And so we sued. And the judge ruled that the rule by the Corps of Engineers was unconstitutional, and he ordered the Corps of Engineers to stop enforcing it. But his order only applied in Idaho. He was a federal district court judge in Idaho, and he issued a ruling that applied in Idaho. I don't think he ever thought for a minute that he could impose a nationwide injunction. And so when you have this this judge in Seattle, obviously some foreign shopping. And, yes, he was appointed by George W. Bush, but he was appointed by George W. Bush on the recommendation of two Democratic senators out there. So he's not some conservative jurist who doesn't think what Trump is doing is correct. And I really question a nationwide...
Only way to get this...
Oops, sorry about that.
Sorry, keep going.
Well, I really question a nationwide injunction. It's not appropriate. It's not proper. If he wants to ban its implementation in the state of Washington, that's one thing. But from Seattle to stretch all the way over to flights coming into Miami, I think that's obviously a bridge way too far.
Okay. Well, we are talking with William Perry Pinley. He is the president of Mountain States Legal Foundation. We have several other subjects that we want to talk about, and we've only got really about a minute. So let's just kind of set this up here, and a minute until we go to break, and then we'll come back. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to scare you there.
Yeah.
Very quickly, just let's start on the midnight regulations that President Obama put in before, and the executive orders before he left. Just give us a couple things that we're going to talk about after we come back from break.
Well, we're certainly going to talk about the national monuments, the Bear Ears Monument over there in Utah, the 1.3 million acre land grab. And we got to go back to August and see a similar land grab that he did in the state of Maine.
Okay, very good. And the other thing that, if we have time, that I'd like to get to, Perry, is there's been something very interesting regarding air traffic controllers. And I think that you filed a case on that as well back in, what was it, 2015?
That's correct.
Okay, and I think that that's really important.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. If you fly in an aircraft or you have friends that do, you'll want to know about this.
Okay,
or if you live underneath the one of the paths where the plane's going over,
you're on the flight. If you're on a landing path,
yeah, it's pretty much going to apply to all of it.
Yeah. So hey, let's go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with William Perry Pinley about the land grab and keeping our skies safe. Home is where the heart is. It's that safe place where memories are made, meals shared, and holidays celebrated. When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you need to work with RE/MAX award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 28 years. Karen is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Karen takes the time to understand your unique wants and needs and can help you make the best decision for you and your family. Give Karen Levine a call at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation or visit her online at karenlevine@remax.net and tell her the Americhick sent you. Every business needs great branding, an effective website, professional photography, and videos to promote their products and services. Normally, businesses have to find numerous providers to handle all this work while incurring substantial costs. That's where Desi On Demand comes in. You choose your budget, and you choose your services from Desi On Demand's menu. Kim Munson here. Molly and I heartily endorse the creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity that Brand and the founder of Desi and his team bring to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com, that's D-E-Z-I, or call 303-359-1255 and tell them the Americhick sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the Heart of the Matter with the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. So we are talking to William Perry Pinley, who's the president of Mountain States Legal Foundation. And at this point, we're going to move and start talking about midnight regulations. Midnight regulations are those regulations that a lame duck president kind of pushes through last minute, right after the election, right as soon as we know somebody else is coming in until inauguration day. Now, I know that all presidents have done this. They would push through what they want last minute. But it looks like, I'm looking at an article from Breitbart right here that says President Obama has issued more than any other lame duck president in recent history. Is that right, Perry?
Well, I think so. That's what I see, and my focus is on the things he does to the West, and specifically his national monument decrees. He has issued national monument designations more than any other president, huge expanse of both marine sanctuaries and also land set-asides. Last August, he did one that was particularly upsetting, not to the West, unusual. He did it to rural Maine, upstate Maine. There had been a a multimillionaire, a woman up there who had gone about acquiring a whole bunch of isolated tracks, and then she turned it over to the Park Service, and Obama turned the whole thing into a national monument on its way to becoming a park, much to the frustration of locals there who need logging jobs and mill jobs. And what they're being told is they're to be satisfied with tourist jobs, fluffing duvets and pouring cappuccino for people, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have out here in the West, Utah, and for weeks and weeks and months even, the entire Utah congressional delegation, the state house, the governor, people in the affected areas in San Juan County tried to tell the president, please don't do this. We're working on protecting those petroglyphs there. There are some things that need to be protected, but please don't issue this decree. And Obama, he went to Hawaii and issued his order from Hawaii, and it's got the people of Utah all upset, and properly so. I am hopeful, and I wrote an article that was posted by the Washington Examiner on the 1st of February, where I call on President Trump to void out those orders. I think he should strike Obama's main order. He should strike the Bear Ears Monument, and he should strike down a Clinton monument that goes back several years called the Escalante Grand Staircase. And Clinton issued that order for one reason only. He wanted to shut down a world-class coal mine there that would have provided thousands of jobs in a county that is today an economic disaster area. So I'm hoping that President Trump does what President George W. Bush refused to do, and that is to vacate these monuments. And he certainly has the authority to do it. Prior presidents have narrowed these monuments. I don't know if we ever had a president strike one in its entirety, but I think that's called for here, because clearly what President Obama has done is illegal and not in accordance with federal law.
Well, let me ask you this. So I'm looking at the Antiquities Act, and it says that allows a president to create these kind of monuments. But I read some articles that said, but it did not allow a president to undo it. But you're saying that the new president can undo that law.
Oh, he absolutely can. Okay. I mean, when you look at that law, the left, the Greens, always they cite to that and say, oh, there's this authority to do this. Well, let's look at the authority to do this, and what does the authority provide? It provides the authority to set aside items of antiquity, and you look at the congressional history on this, and it's all about protecting artifacts from the American Southwest, because there were these artifacts from prior civilizations that were out there that were being destroyed, and Congress wanted to protect them. And initially, they said, okay, we're going to give the president the power to protect these unique areas. We're going to limit his authority to, say, 320 acres, maybe 640 acres at most. And then people said, well, wait, that may not be enough acreage. So the language was changed to the smallest area compatible with the protection of the resource. And now all of a sudden, Clinton says he has the authority to set aside 1.9 million acres. Obama says he has the authority to set aside 1.3 million acres because it's pretty. You got some petroglyphs, okay. Yeah, how many acres does that comprise? Is that 640 acres? It sure as heck isn't 1.3. And so when you look at the statutes and say, does it allow a president to strike it, the first question is, on what basis can the president create it? And when the president has, as Obama did and as Clinton did, abused their power and authority under that act, then I think it's an easy call. It's a no-brainer to say a subsequent president can strike an illegal action by a prior president. Mm-hmm. No Congress can bind forever all future Congresses. No president can bind all future presidents, especially when he does something illegal.
Well, that's a great thing, and that's why elections matter, right? Because the people want to have a voice. You know, I saw a poll from November in Utah that said 60% of the citizens there opposed this. And Attorney General Sean Reyes in Utah is planning to bring a lawsuit over the issue. So do you have any idea on how he's doing with that?
No, I don't. And I, frankly, I was on Fox News. I happened to be in New York City on business on the 3rd of January, and that story broke on that night, and I was on Fox News Live at headquarters talking about that. And my comment was that obviously it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court of the United States. The furthest any of these cases have ever gone was one when FDR declared the Grand Tetons a national monument in Wyoming and upset a lot of people in Wyoming. The thing went, Wyoming sued, went to federal district court, and the federal judge said, it's clear a president could not declare a wide-open piece of sagebrush to be sagebrush country to be a national monument, but that does not appear to be the case here. So even the very first case on this, the court recognized there are limits to what the president can do. Supreme Court's never cut on what those limits are, and I anticipate this court will have to do that. But we have a Republican Congress, and maybe Congress will simply strike it. And I hope in the meantime, Congress, and this is what I said in my article on the 1st of February, I hope the Congress repeals the Antiquities Act because it's being abused, and Westerners are being held hostage for it. And maybe you ought to take it back to its original language, 640 acres.
Okay, and Perry, this time is going really quickly. We have just about 2 minutes. Quickly, first of all, if people want to get information about these important cases, you know, in fact, maybe if they want to help you out, where can they get this information?
We're all on the web at www.mountainstateslegal.org. They can go there. We have a Twitter account at MSLF. We're on Facebook, and certainly would love to have people. I'm posting several times a day on Facebook and tweeting out on issues that relate to what we're doing.
Okay, very good.
Then let's do a quick air traffic controller. Just give us the quick skinny on it.
I'll give you the 30,000-foot thing. Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers, and we hired a bunch of military people. And in about 1991, the FAA set up a very rigorous program for hiring the best and the brightest air traffic controllers. Had to go through college, had to pass a test, had to be recommended. And we got the best air traffic controllers in the world. 2014, Obama's people say, well, we're not racially diverse enough. And so they concluded that requiring college education was an impediment to people of color becoming air traffic controllers, even though almost 12% of the people in the pipeline were African Americans, and they got rid of the program. They're hiring on race now.
Wow. Okay. Now, one thing I just saw that U.S. Representative Bill Schuster came out, and he wants to make air traffic controllers, he wants to make it a private company, a private organization. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't like it. I think he's got an axe to grind. I don't know what he's up to, but I think we got to cure this situation first.
Yeah.
And get the FAA out of the business of hiring air traffic controllers on the basis of the color of their skin. It ain't right.
Right. Instead of the, you know, character, the qualifications, all those kinds of things.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope accidents don't happen. I hope these people who are getting in there, who should not be in there, are not allowed to be sitting at a screen guiding your aircraft to a landing.
Right. We want the most qualified people, and you've got a court case.
We want the most qualified people. But if we don't stop it, I'm afraid tragedy will happen.
Okay. Well, William Perry Pendley, president of Mountain States Legal Foundation, thank you so much. We'll have you back soon.
I hope so. Thanks so much.
When Thanks,
we come
Perry.
Back, a couple more surprises.
Yep. That's the AmeriChicks, KDMT.
It's complicated. Life, sometimes. Bookkeeping, sometimes. Taxes, all the stinking time. That's why you need to work with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. They offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company takes a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs. Tax day's right around the corner, so call the pros at Predovich & Company today. 303-791-3000 or check out the website at dpredovich.com. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to Heart of the Matter with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. And we are excited. We've got a couple of people on the line. But first, The first one we want to talk to is Jennifer, who is the owner of Water's Edge Winery. Hey, Jennifer, how you doing?
Hey, ladies, I'm awesome. How are you?
Well, good. We just love you. We just love your business. You are one of our Growing Our Brands partners, and we really appreciate that, Jennifer. But you've got something going on this weekend that's pretty darn fun, huh?
Well, we do. We're excited. We've got our second annual Valentine's Day event. It's called Vino Encanto Amore, and it is a four-course food and wine pairing event with a up-close sleight-of-hand magician, the magic of Don Z. He's going to be emceeing the event, and it's a very unique and different night out. So for those of us who have been married forever and are looking for something different to do, this is something more, you know, unique. And you don't have to go downtown.
Yeah. And hey, for those people that are new couples and the guys that didn't realize that February 14th is Valentine's Day.
Which actually, this is going to be
today.
Yeah, this is going to be Saturday night, though, which actually I think is great because I think sometimes things get a little crazy on Valentine's Day. So this Saturday night,
yep.
And Water's Edge Winery is located just north of the streets of South Glen. It's just west of University and off on north of Arapahoe, right, Jennifer?
Yep, we're on the corner of Arapahoe and Vine, right across from the streets of South Glen, like you said.
A winery on Vine, huh?
I know, right?
Yeah, winery with the grapevine. And you know what? We love your wine. We love your ice cream made with wine. We love all that stuff. People also, just husbands, boyfriends, so you know, you can also ask them to put together a personalized label for the wine bottle. So maybe that's a special thing to do for your loved one as well, right?
Not only that, but we're offering free personalized labels all week for Valentine's Day. You come in, pick up her favorite kind of wine, and we'll put a personalized label. Maybe you want to get engaged or just tell her you love her.
Okay.
Yeah. Or even ladies, you can do it too. You can buy your man a bottle of port.
Well, Jennifer, what's your phone number and what's your website?
Well, our website is wewdenver.com, but if you want to get tickets to this event, they are limited. We're going to shut down ticket purchases on Friday by 10 a.m. So they need to go to Magic of Don Z, that's M-A-G-I-C of D-O-N-Z.com /Vino. Tickets are $130, and that includes dinner for two, the equivalent of a bottle of wine, and the night out, so full entertainment, and you will be amazed by Don. And not only that, but the food is all based on aphrodisiac properties.
Oh, boy.
Woo-woo. So we have Charm-free Cafe over here. I know. It's so much fun.
Yeah, so forget the big stuffed animals, guys.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Forget that.
Take her to
yeah.
Water's Edge Winery.
You
all
got
right.
it. Hey, Jennifer, yeah. thanks so much. Okay.
Thanks, ladies. We love you guys. Congratulations on your move to the new station.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Okay. And Molly, we have a friend of ours, Brad Beck, is on the line, and he is a guy that understands the proper role of government, what government is supposed to be doing. And I saw him this last weekend, and he talked about something that's happening up in Lafayette here in Colorado, an ordinance that is really of great concern. And so, Brad, hey, are you there?
I am. How you doing, Kim and Molly?
Well, we're doing
great. Thanks.
Just great. And this is something that's interesting that's going on up in Lafayette. It's a climate bill of rights. So tell us about that, Brad.
Well, it's interesting. Last December, about then, I saw on Facebook this East Boulder County United was having a meeting at the Lafayette Library. And they had about 75 people in attendance, and I went there just to listen. And they had the Lafayette Council there, Mary Lee Mazza, who leads this Colorado community rights petition. And they featured two speakers. One was her son, who's an activist. Some would call him a fractivist, Cliff Wilmeg. And the other one is this Thomas Lindsay. He's the executive director of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, or CELDF for short. And you can check them out online.
Okay.
But what they were talking about is how that they are pretty much fed up with going through the proper channels of government and doing things around the Constitution because they have not found success going through proper channels. And what's interesting about this is because Mazza is on the Lafayette City Council, they have proposed a climate bill of rights and protections. And basically, it's giving indefinite protection to the environment in the city of Lafayette from extraction of coal, oil, gas, or any disposing of drilling waste within the city. Now, it sounds innocuous. It's a right to healthy climate, a right to local community self-government, a right to enforce. But what really is the kicker here is they have this direct enforcement. You say, well, what is direct enforcement? Well, according to this, if the city of Lafayette fails to enforce or defend this law, if it's passed, or the a local court fails to uphold the law, any person may enforce this law through nonviolent direct action.
Wow.
So using the terms that they're talking here, that shall mean any activities carried out directly to enforce the prohibitions of this law. That, to me, is usurping the rule of law. Not only that, you know, nature doesn't have rights. Individuals have rights. And to paraphrase Ashley Judd in that Million Women March.
Oh, this is going to be interesting, Molly.
Well, I came up with this because I'm just warped. But, you know, Mother Nature is a nasty woman. She'll kill you.
Yeah.
Mother Nature is extreme. I mean, if you've ever been in a blizzard or been through an earthquake, I had a house destroyed in the Northridge earthquake. If you've ever been through a volcano, you know, if Yellowstone goes, we can kiss all the environmental purity goodbye. So, you know, who's going to protect me from the environment? Well, you know, I believe in human flourishing. I believe in human ingenuity and technology. This is a direct assault. This climate bill of rights and protections is a direct assault to that. Tonight there was supposed to be a city council meeting. I live in Erie, Lafayette's next door. But I fear that this bill, if it goes through, will be spread like a cancer around to Louisville, Erie, Broomfield, Boulder. Of course, Boulder, I'm surprised they didn't pass it first. But these activists are based in Lafayette. And one of the things that I'm really concerned about is nobody knows about this. They are activating the local community. In fact, there's supposed to be a group of mothers and kids speaking in defense of this bill, and they use, you know, the usual, well, it's for the children, and we want clean air and clean water. Well, everybody wants clean air and clean water. We all want a clean environment. I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather. I want nothing but that. But on the other side of that, I also want human flourishing. I want to be able to live my life as I see fit, and I don't need a city or a town telling me how to live my life or usurping the direct rule of law enforcement.
Well, a couple of things. I'm looking at this, and number five is exactly what you were talking about. It says, citizens who perform nonviolent direct action to protect this law shall not be harassed, arrested, or detained by police. And what happens is a lot of people don't understand the danger. And that's one of the things that you are able to see the 30,000-foot view on this is this might not just be about climate. It could be anything that somebody might deem hurts them, and they could start to go after you. I mean, each individual that might even think they're standing up for this. And somehow you're able to see that.
Imagine having a barbecue outside. You're in your backyard, and, you know, you're doing a coal-burning barbecue, and somebody says, oh, you're burning, you know, you're hurting the environment. You're hurting my Mother Nature. Well, you know, that's my right to have that. Now, I'll be mindful. Maybe I put it in the middle of the yard, not next to somebody's yard or house. But by the same token, you know, they could, if this thing passed, basically take the law into their own hands.
Yes,
this whole
scary
idea of sustainability, you know, it's really the takeover of the economy to prevent, in their minds, the imminent destruction of the environment. And they have changed the whole meaning of words. Their whole outlook is using the language of the right to do some things that the left has been just chomping at the bit to do, which is basically control of the environment, control of the economy, control of individuals. And but fortunately, they don't have it on the docket tonight, as far as I could see. And I was going to go speak on this draft bill. You know, I know you ladies are all about solutions. So my solution was, as a citizen, to go speak against this thing. Unfortunately, not the whole complement of counselors are going to be there tonight. But anybody who wants to see what these people are up to, they can go to a Facebook page, East Boulder County United, Back to Brown, December 15th. There's a video online. And you can watch it for yourself, and you can watch it around the 50-minute mark where this Thomas Lindley talks about basically doing things that would usurp the Constitution. He says it's a 1780s system of law that values certain property, economic, and commerce interests over the rights of people, community, and nature.
Wow.
So nature all of a sudden has rights.
Yeah.
You know, he says the only way you're going to change things is to upend the whole thing.
Well, and this seems to be the strategy everywhere right now.
Yeah, and hopefully the people realize that there are going to be consequences to their actions if they do decide to break the law and to come onto somebody else's property and start taking away their rights. Brad, tell us, let us know when you do want people to come out there and start saying something, because I'm sure people are going to want to do that. And is there a website to follow, or is that the East Boulder County United?
Well, that's their one of their websites. If they go to the city of Lafayette, Colorado, and look at their city council agenda. I think the next meeting after this one's the 21st. From what I understand today, all the councilors were not going to be in attendance. It was not on the agenda. So I'm assuming it would be at the next meeting for open comment. And if you can't make it, I would suggest people go online, look at all the councilors' contact information, and just let them know, you know, look at this, first read the draft, and then say, I'm against this thing. It's against the Constitution. You know, they talk about local rights. Well, local rights are all good and well, but there is the federal law and then there's state law.
Absolutely.
And I know the union was made up of the states, but boy, you know, when you start to have all these municipalities having all their different laws to circumvent the federal law, we no longer have a nation.
Right. You're absolutely right, Brad Beck. So, Brad Beck, keep us informed on this. This is very important. And as we're going into the close here, John Jay, who was one of the founders and also the first Chief Justice of the United States, said that no power on earth has right to take our property from us without our consent. And I think that this East Boulder group needs to hear that.
Absolutely, it does. So keep your eyes on that city of Lafayette. And watch what they're doing there and help us out. Get out there and protect private property rights. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, signing off. Y'all have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.